number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty action. Leg it down. Smack on jackal.
Nighttime is the right time. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
If we die, we die together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive, recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is now.
Oh, got to be.
This is what we do.
From the Quick and Loan Studios, here's Tony D.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us as we continue through the night tonight on a night where we are calling it, I don't know, everything but hockey. A lot of news around the sports world. NBA, NHL, I'm sorry, NFL, Major League Baseball.
That should be the name of our show, Everything But Hockey.
Everything But Hockey. I try, man. I try. I really do. I just can't. I can't. When I was in Denver, my worst segments and my worst interviews were the Avalanche stuff. And I love that. I love it. I just, it's not something I gravitate towards. And I think it was growing up, it wasn't readily available to me as a kid. There was no reason growing up why I wouldn't have rooted for the Bruins. None. But I never saw them on TV. I never could watch them play. They were on, when I was younger, they were on Channel 38, and I didn't get that in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, and I couldn't watch them.
Well, and the
and
tough thing,
every now and then, they'd be on a channel I could get over the air, but I never saw them.
The tough thing about hockey, especially, you know, doing like a radio show or something, it's a hard sport to break down. If you're not like a hockey genius, it's a hard sport to break down. Like, I could barely break hockey down, and I watch a lot of hockey.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I mean, I used to listen to the Preds. We'd go to Preds games and whatnot, come home and listen to it, listen to the guys do it. I give them a lot of credit. I mean, I'm very, impressed by their ability to do all that, because I know I couldn't.
Like, when I'm watching the game, I can be like, he should have done this. And I know that from playing the game growing up. But after the game, it's like, this guy should have been ducking in the zone.
Exactly.
No idea.
Now, we have discussed just about every sport on the planet. Just about. We even threw in a little NASCAR at request, NHL at request. I said Major League Baseball, college basketball with SMU, college football, Bama, Georgia, NFL, of course. So, naturally, I've got one major one to get to and to close out the night, and it's about FIFA. But it's not about FIFA, about Messi or Ronaldo or any of that. No. It's about fun Jack Warner. Now, you might remember Jack Warner from the summer excursion when Sepp Blatter, the president, was getting kicked out and thrown out. This was the guy on a video that was criticizing the United States because how dare we criticize the United States when this headline from this paper right here says the United States is handling its own World Cup, and it was The Onion. Do you remember that guy? He used The Onion as a real newspaper to criticize the United States. He was saying that all of the arrests that the United States was going, how dare they, when the United States is playing host to the 2015 World Cup, and this is just a double standard. Well, guess what FIFA's done to Mr. Jack Warner, who's made a boatload of money in the corrupt system of FIFA. They have now banned him for life. Which is really cool, because the Onion story was probably the main reason why he got banned for life, despite all the other corruption. They probably could overlook that. But embarrassing yourself in front of the world by using a satire newspaper as a tool to mock a country, it probably didn't go over well in the FIFA office. And they probably said, hey, Jack, look, here's the deal, man. You know, you want to get bribes and be corrupt and use FIFA to make yourself a boatload of fun money that you'll use where nobody can get it? Fine. Everybody's doing it. We're cool with that. What we can have is you on a YouTube channel claiming the United States is gearing up for its own World Cup in 2015 when, one, there is no World Cup in 2015, and two, we haven't given it to the United States. We just had one last year. Poor guy. Now he's lost a really high-paying gig for the rest of his life. How fun must have that been? Do you have your envelope? Yes, I do. Fine, you're getting my vote. Where are you? What country are you again? Qatar. Oh, aren't you really hot? Yes. Well, can't play soccer there, can we? We'll make it work. Okay, here's my vote. Banned for life. Moral of the story, kids, don't trust the onion. And by the way, how many people out there have had friends that have done exactly what Jack Warner has done on Facebook? I mean, it feels like to me every other week or a couple times a month, I've got a buddy posting a onion story about something about a politician with an outraged headline, you know, just an outraged comment. How dare he say this? And you're like, oh, Aunt Sarah, don't worry about it. It is the Onion. It's a satire newspaper. Oh, yeah. Take this down. You're all right. You're all right. I feel like I do that more and more. So there you go. I've now covered FIFA on my quest to cover everything tonight because I feel like everything in the news is popping. We talked earlier about the NCAA slapping SMU around. Your thoughts on that? Should Larry Brown be fired by the Mustangs? How much is enough for these schools to take? We'll talk about that next, as well as NFL looking ahead to Week 4, some of the more interesting matchups. That's coming up as well. 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907. But coming up next, Dabo Swinney is saying something all of you agree with, except me. Next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
So Dabo Swinney in his press conference to preview the Clemson Tigers and Notre Dame said that polls don't matter. He said none of that stuff matters. Pretty much the current polls useless. And you know what? So many people agree with that. So many people agree with that. Now, if you've listened to me long enough to know that I don't necessarily buy that. And I'll tell you why. Dabo Swinney is about ready to lead his Clemson Tigers in a game against Notre Dame. And these are two ranked teams. The Irish are ranked 6th in the country. Clemson is ranked 12th. We can evaluate Notre Dame, but not everybody gets to watch the Irish every single week. Not everybody is paying attention to the Irish every single week. So how do we know as college football fans that this is a big game? Why is it a big game? Is it because both teams are undefeated? A lot of teams are undefeated. Again, go to the guy that's not watching any college football other than his favorite team. Give me the Kentucky fan that's all in on Kentucky football, or the Louisville fan, or the Indiana fan. How does he watch this? How does he know it's important? Why is it important? What are the ramifications of this game? Do you know how we get all of those answers? We get all of those answers because of that little tiny number that is right next to the name of the team. Dabo wants to downplay polls because coaches want to downplay polls when they are inconvenient to whatever story they want to tell. But they sure are convenient when he wants to tell a story that involves his team beating a ranked team. So look, I completely understand there's a natural, easy reaction to the negativity of polling. We haven't seen enough. I can't believe we can make these kind of judgments. We're only a couple of weeks into the season. These polls are not what the committee is going to give us. We know the committee is going to give us a different poll. But for right now, it gives value to games. It makes games seem a lot bigger than what they really are. If Clemson wins this game, they have knocked off the number six team in the country. And believe you me, they will be talking about that. But if we don't have that little tiny useless number next to the team names, how do we know a win over Notre Dame is important? How do we know a win over Notre Dame isn't par for the course? After all, a lot of teams are unbeaten. I got to go through every unbeaten team to find whether or not they're valuable or worthy to be for consideration. Do the polls tell us everything? Of course not. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why coaches don't like them. Because they don't take into account a lot of things coaches take into account. If you're starting a new quarterback, if your running back has got a foot injury but he's still played, if your offensive line is missing a couple of guys, if your defense is missing a couple of guys, if one of the players is dealing with an illness, if there is a mismatch in coverage that is exploited, if the running back just coughs up the ball too many times, but he's never done that the whole year. These are little tiny things that coaches just don't, they don't want to have somebody make a judgment on their team when there's so many factors as to why they lose and why they win. But the reality of it is, as useless as they may appear, they are valuable to some extent because we give more credit than probably we should when an upset happens. Ole Miss is the third-ranked team in the country. They're putting up tremendous amounts of points. They just went on the road and beat Alabama. Was there value to that win? Well, yes. Why? What did they get out of it? What did they get out of going on the road to beat Alabama? Well, they got a top five ranking. Is Florida jacked up to play Ole Miss? Sure they are. Why? Because they're ranked. Why? Because people have judged them. Why? Because that's what we do. Without them, they're just playing Ole Miss. With them, they're playing the third best team in the country. That's the difference, and it's important. It is important. It's how we determine whether or not teams are on the rise. Jim McElwain is doing a good job. How do I know? His team just went and beat the number three team in the country. Doesn't that sound better than Jim McElwain's on the rise? How do we know? Well, he won a home game against Ole Miss. Was Ole Miss any good? Well, I don't know. I think they were. I think they were unbeaten or something like that when they came to, I can't remember, but yeah, they were all right. Two totally different narratives, two totally different stories, same thing, but two totally different ways to approach it. Dabo, trust me on this. And I got to play golf with Dabo Sweeney once, which was very hard for me to do as a South Carolina Gamecock, but it was still very fun. And he was a really good guy. And by the way, Dabo Sweeney, I love him because he called out my fatness at the time, because we were at this luncheon, a Clemson luncheon that I got invited to, and I had to go and I couldn't tell. I promised I wouldn't tell anybody I went to South Carolina. And so it was a golf tournament and there was lunch, and me and my co-host were having lunch at a table that was empty. There was a couple of seats empty, and Dabo was needing a place to sit. So he sat with us. We got to talk some football, and he noticed that I had eaten three chocolate chip cookies. Out of all the things to notice, he noticed that I was eating three chocolate chip cookies. And then we had him on the show the next day, and he pointed out to my audience that, boy, this guy likes to down cookies. So at that point, I felt, you know, guilt and shame, called out by Dabo for eating cookies. But nevertheless, I kind of was appreciative. Dabo Sweeney and his Clemson Tigers, if they beat Notre Dame on Saturday, his fan base, maybe not him, but his fan base is going to be mighty proud. Mighty, mighty proud. That's a big win for the program. And the reason it's a big win for the program is because a bunch of people decided that Notre Dame, that there were only five other teams in the entire country, five, that were better than them. So Clemson getting that win gets boosters excited, gets alumni excited, gets the money flowing in, gets people jacked up about Clemson football, season tickets, maybe tickets to the other games, a little travel. Very excited about where the Tigers are going. Why? Because somebody put a useless, stupid number next to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So Dabo, they're not useless. They do serve a purpose. You may not like them this early in the season. A lot of people don't. But they are important. So I was saying earlier tonight, South Carolina was one time ranked at the beginning of the year last year. And they lost to Texas A&M. South Carolina had no business being ranked. They were not a very good football team. And we saw later that they were just, there was just too many people in the preseason hype believing in what they were doing. But they had lost a tremendous amount of talent and didn't have a defense. And they got torched a lot. And Texas A&M was the beneficiary of that. Because when Texas A&M walked away from that game, throttling South Carolina that was ranked in the top 10, they benefited tremendously from it. They got a huge ratings boost because of that. They got bumped up in the polls, and then when everybody started beating Texas A&M, then everybody was like, wow, that SEC West is damn good. So yeah, I can understand where people get a little crazy on it. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Coming up, I do want to get to Larry Brown. Should he be fired? I got a rant on this from earlier tonight. I'll reset that coming up. And again, week 4 in the NFL, games you should be watching, including one across the pond. Next, Yahoo Sports Radio, as we continue through the night tonight. Oh, by the way, don't forget to check out our podcast page. It's podcastarena.com/Tony-D. You want to make sure you check out if you miss part of the show or you miss something, or if you called and were on it and you want to show off to your buddies that you called this show and put me in my place, or, oh, by the way, put Adam in his place, for crying out loud. You can do so. Podcastarena.com/Tony-D. You can check out our Facebook page. We'll have it there. It is a new website, right? We're just up and running on it now.
Yeah, just up now. We got the first, tonight will be the first show on the podcast page.
And so they've done a great job at Yahoo Sports. All the shows are there from Zabin to our weekend guys. So you can peruse that. But of course, we want you to check out the show when you miss a part of it. So check it out again, podcastarena.com/Tony-D, not Tony D, Tony-D. So make sure you have the dash or you end up missing us. And we don't want you to do that. All right, so coming up next, we'll talk about Larry Brown's tenure at SMU. Should he be fired as the NCAA came a call into the Mustangs program? And again, week 4 in the National Football League, the Dolphins and the Jets, will they give London a game to be proud of? We'll talk about that coming up as well. 800-777-2907. It is Tony D. You're the Third Shift on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the Third Shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loan Studios.
And back to Tony D.
God, I got to thank PT Dennis on Twitter for sending me this. So we've been kind of railing against SMU. Because they got hammered by the NCAA on this basketball thing. Larry Brown suspended 9 games. They're losing scholarships. They're banned from the postseason. Academic fraud. And then I get this article tweeted at me. SMU gets postseason ban on the men's golf team. The SMU men's golf team will be ineligible. Oh, this comes from NBC Golf, golfchannel.com. The SMU men's golf team will be ineligible for postseason play this season after the NCAA found multiple violations involving recruiting and unethical conduct under former head coach Josh Gregory. Mustang senior Bryson DeChambeau, who last month became only the 5th player to win the NCAA individual championship and the U.S. amateur in the same year, will be unable to defend his title next year in Eugene, Oregon. What? What kind of recruiting violations are going on when you recruit golfers? Hey, if you come here, well, you know, just, if you find a box of Titleists underneath the door, that, you know, just, they fell off a truck. What do you want? You want some shiny new clubs? I mean, I can't give them to you, but it doesn't mean they just won't magically show up in your hotel room. How do you break recruiting violations in golf? The Division II Committee on Infractions panel found that Gregory, who helped lead Augusta State to back-to-back national titles in 2010 and 2011, committed multiple recruiting infractions, including 64 impermissible contacts with 10 prospects and 7 parents of prospects over a 10-month period. Gregory also, oh my God, I just joked about this. Gregory also offered university merchandise and golf equipment at a significantly reduced price in 2013. Golly, golf now? Does it ever end? I can only imagine the death penalty for the golf program at SMU. You guys are done. And don't scream and holler about it because you're done. Yeah, but no. What are we going to do? It's the only sport we have left. Golf program. Thank you. That just made my night. SMU, you need to fire Larry Brown. I know it's tough. Here's one of the reasons. Look, when schools hire coaches, okay, it's as much about them as it is the coach they hire. A lot of people never understand this, especially fans who really go crazy when coaches fail to live up to expectations. Tennessee had a bad week, and I'm only bringing this up because I'm familiar with the program and the news around the program, so forgive me. I get a little homerish sometimes, but forgive me. The Tennessee Volunteers had a bad week. They were badly coached. In a game against Florida. Badly coached. The defense let him down. Butch Jones went for one when he should have gone for two. I mean, there was multiple things that went wrong down the stretch. He changed things around that were working. And in the end, the Florida Gators got the win. Okay. Here come the fans. They're losing their minds, as you would expect. They want blood, as you would expect. The Tennessee is not going to fire Butch Jones. Not only because Butch Jones needs to spend a little bit more time and you can't just keep the revolving door open, but it's also about them. They hired him. They did their diligence. They put pen to paper. They did interviews with people. They talked to people. They wanted to get the best hire they possibly could. So when they made the decision, they felt like they hired the right guy. They had to sell him. They sold him. It's about them as much as it is about the coach. Larry Brown is the same way at SMU. SMU went through a period where they were honored that a guy like Larry Brown, with his Hall of Fame basketball experience, would even want to come to a place like SMU and help it turn around. But the Mustangs have got to let go of that. Larry Brown is a perfect 3-for-3 in getting teams he's coached in college into postseason bans. Into NCAA trouble. He's now perfect. Everywhere he goes, this is what happens. SMU knew that. They knew that, but went and channeled it anyway. Went and got him anyway. Why would they do that? Because one thing Larry Brown does is win you games. You may not like how the sausage is being made, but it's delicious. He'll win you games. He'll get you excitement. He'll put you in the NCAA tournament. You'll soon be out of the NCAA tournament, but until they catch up with him, you're going to be in the NCAA tournament. He makes basketball players better. That's what he does. But he also leaves a trail of academic fraud and problems that schools have to clean up when he's gone. And let me tell you something. He's gone. God, if I had a nickel for every time Larry Brown said this was my final stop in my career, I'd be a very wealthy man. Larry Brown has said that everywhere he's gone. This is it. It's my final stop. He'll be coaching overseas by the end of next year. He'll be coaching your eighth grade basketball team from some middle school in the middle of nowhere by the time he's 80. Where there's a ball bouncing, Larry Brown will find it. If you are in need, Larry Brown will find you. If you've got the money, Larry Brown will definitely find you. And then you'll find Larry Brown running for the hills the moment trouble starts coming. He's like the Duke brothers driving around that General Lee, jumping over a cliff with Waylon Jennings doing voiceover. Yee-haw! Now, you don't think the NCAA going to crack down on Larry Brown now, do you? That's Larry Brown. Always running. And when he runs, you pay. So SMU, make him run. Make him leave. Tell him he's done and move on. The world is filled with good basketball coaches. The world is filled with people that will make your program proud. The world is filled with guys who do things the right way, who don't have NCAA records, and are not being chased by the entity that could bring your program down. And by the story that I just read about this golf team getting postseason banned, and now this on top of the basketball team, the NCAA has hammered SMU 10 times with postseason bans and infractions, making the SMU Mustangs synonymous with NCAA trouble. And if you run that program and you run that school, you end that tomorrow by firing Larry Brown and getting somebody that does it the right way. You do it tomorrow. You don't make excuses. You do it tomorrow because the people that love you the most deserve better. If you are SMU, you do not deserve to be crawling on the ground, begging and pleading and making excuses for a 71-year-old man who leaves disaster every time he touches a college program. You don't need to grovel. You don't need to crawl on broken glass. You do not need to be less than who you are. Be proud of who you are, and you tell this man it does not continue. Goodbye. Fire him. Fire him tomorrow. Fire him now. Fire him before he fires you. Because he's going to fire you. My God, it's what he does. It's what he does. I mean, it's inevitable. Inevitable. I'm telling you, he's going to be 85. I'm telling you right now, 85 years old. He'll be coaching an eighth grade basketball team in Sheboygan. History teacher, my ass, Larry Brown. God, unbelievable. All right, 800-777-2907. So, should SMU fire Larry Brown or should they just let it go? Coming up, week 4 in the National Football League. Adam and I will give you your thoughts on the games you should watch and not watch. And the message in London is, hey, Jets are coming. The Jets are coming. And so are those pitiful Dolphins. Next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loans Studios.
And back to Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. So week 4 of the National Football League coming up, the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up on Thursday night. Boy, I'll tell you right now, I'm a little nervous. As a Steeler fan, it really does make me nervous when the Ravens and the Steelers meet and the Ravens have everything to play for. Just a little bit, because the Ravens are good enough to make a run at 0-3. I know nobody's made the playoffs since, what, Clinton was president, 98 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
So, but the Ravens are talented enough that if they get things moving, they'll be all right. The Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger, I have no idea what they're going to look like. None.
It's going to be the most interesting part of week 4.
Yeah.
What Michael Vick does with those weapons.
What if I come on Thursday night, Friday morning, and I'm just elated that Michael Vick is just brilliant, but he's 35, man. How brilliant could he be?
Remind me, is Martavis Bryant back now or is it after this game? Was he four?
I think
weeks?
It's no. It was. He's after this game.
Okay, after this
it's
game.
Four
okay.
weeks.
Well, the one thing I would say about Michael Vick is he's got the arm to, you know, use Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton, and Martavis Bryant whenever he comes back down the field. Which I mean, Big Ben does too, obviously. But you know, I've watched a lot of Steelers, and they haven't been taking the huge shots because Antonio Brown is always open like 8 yards away from the line.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
And there's no
that
reason to
point.
Risk those deep passes. But with Michael Vick, you know, Marcus Wheaton can use his speed to get behind the defense and, you know, help Vick get underneath throws to Antonio Brown. So I think it can work. And I mean, plus you have Le'Veon Bell, which is always
I
nice
think Le'Veon Bell becomes, as we talked to Neil Coulong earlier this week, Le'Veon Bell is now, if he wasn't integral to the offense, he's now very integral to the offense. He is extremely important in the transition. Extremely important.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't have 25, 30 carries.
Oh, yeah, easily. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, the nice thing, I mean, D'Angelo Williams was great the first 2 weeks, so you can get him the ball too. So
he was really good.
Really pound that running game. I mean, the Ravens haven't been that great defensively. You know, you just wear them down.
I am really surprised that a John Harbaugh team is 0-3 to start the season.
I am too.
I'm really surprised because they do rally quickly. I mean, they did this in the run to the Super Bowl. They had a season that was good, but not great. And then it was a lot of Ray Lewis yelling, but it was still,
he still
rally,
does that.
Right? Rally them in Denver as they beat the Broncos, a heavily favored Broncos team, right? They beat New England. They went on to the Super Bowl. They beat San Francisco. They play well when their backs are against the wall. That's why they're a scary team in the playoffs. They're a scary team. Remember last year, they had a 2-touchdown lead twice against New England. They were right there with the Patriots and probably should have won the game.
They should have, yeah.
Right? So, you know, they're a very dangerous team in the playoffs. To beat the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs is to make sure they don't get into the playoffs. And right now, they're not going to go if this continues, and they're not going to go if they lose to the Steelers. If they lose to the Steelers, they're done. I know there'll always be that possibility because the division may beat itself up. But Cincinnati is a team that is going to put so much distance on them. If Cincinnati at home, and they play well at home, beats Kansas City, which I think they should, that's a four-game lead over Baltimore in the division if the Steelers win on Thursday night. You're not overcoming that. You need a massive collapse by a Bengals team that's deep enough not to collapse. So there is destiny on the line here. I mean, there is season on the line for the Ravens. Now, one of the game I'm kind of interested in is this Jets-Dolphins game in London. Because I don't think Joe Philbin survives this if he loses. I just don't. If I'm pegging a coach to be fired before the season's over, it's this guy.
Yes.
I mean, it is this guy. This seat is so hot, he can't sit in it. Because that owner, Stephen Ross, he had to go to Miami to clean house and went to Miami and said, fine, I will give you 1 year to work this out. And if they're 1-3 on their way back from London, he's not surviving the season.
No, I don't see any way.
No chance. And it's not so much the Dolphins are a big disappointment, because I wasn't thinking the Dolphins were a 12-win team anyway, right? But I certainly thought they'd look decent. You know, we get the NFL, right? You know, teams beat teams all the time. Worst teams beat best teams all the time. You know, it's a league where there is a lot of parity. And even if your team loses, how many people have always said, well, they played pretty well, but they lost? Because we've learned to accept that in the NFL. Sometimes your team can look pretty good. Sometimes your team can play well. They have bounce or two here or there leads you to the losing end. The Dolphins have looked terrible in their losses. And they look terrible in their win. If it wasn't for Jarvis Landry's punt return, they might be 0-3 against the Redskins. This could be a mess. But here's the other thing, though. On the flip side of that, so let's say the Dolphins lose. They're 1-3. They're coming home. fire is all burning in Miami because Joe Philbin's going to get fired. The Jets will be coming home 3-1. 3-1! And then we, at that point, we got to start looking at the Jets a little differently. Maybe the worst team in that division wasn't them after all. The jokes and all of that. Jets would come back from London 3-1. Amazing. Oh, my good grief.
Yeah, it's that'd be crazy. I'm just looking at this schedule here, the whole week four schedule. There's no great games. There's not one great game.
There's no standout game that is.
No, I'm.
This is a really, really good matchup that you should.
The one thing this week
stop
has
what you're doing.
Is the 8:30 a.m. game Central, 9:30 Eastern a.m. with the Jets and Dolphins in London. So that you're going to have football all day long, from 8:30 Central to right before we start our show at midnight Central, with the Sunday night football game. But there's just no one to really watch. I mean, Chiefs-Bengals, that's a good game.
That's a good game, but only because we are still thinking the Chiefs are better than what their record is right now.
I mean, Cardinals-Rams in the afternoon, that's a decent game.
Oh, if the Rams were...
Yeah, I mean...
If the Rams weren't coached by Jeff Fisher, that actually might be a good game!
You can actually put the Rams and Chiefs exactly in the same spot. They're really close to each other in the country, and they're really close to each other where everyone thinks they are.
Right. Houston, Atlanta.
Minnesota,
who's
Denver.
Who's the kid they drafted? Kevin Johnson in Houston?
The
corner?
The corner, yeah, from Wake Forest.
They're not giving him Julio Jones, are they? They're not giving him the Julio Jones assignment, I'm hoping.
Probably Jonathan Joseph.
All right. Julio Jones would have 300 yards receiving if it was the kid.
Yeah.
Boy, Jones
is
great.
Out.
440 yards receiving in the first three games of the year.
I want to see Adrian Peterson versus the Broncos defense. That'll be interesting.
You know what? I'm hoping Minnesota plays a little bit better than we saw. And they are playing better. That Denver defense, man. I'm riding that to the finish line.
New Orleans, Dallas care. At night. Yuck.
Yuck. Yuck. Especially if Drew Brees doesn't play.
It sounds like he's going to play, but even with him, it's still yuck.
Who knows? You know what? The Saints, I've been looking at that story today. They're confident Drew Brees is going to play. You know when I heard that? Last week. I heard that all last week. Every day, Drew Brees confident he'll play against Carolina. Confident he'll play against Carolina. Should play against Carolina. Luke McCown played the whole game.
Well, if we have Luke McCown versus Brandon Whedon, I'm just not going to watch.
Poor
cease to exist in my world.
Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth making innuendo gambling jokes.
Yeah.
While the game's going on.
Talking about Luke McCown's commercials.
Luke McCown, yeah, commercials. Well, I tell you, Al, that backup generator's playing pretty good right now, Al.
I think they should just show this game on its side.
Right.
Maybe it'll make it more interesting.
That's great. Oh, my goodness. You're a little young to remember the announcerless football game that was like an 80s experiment where they did a football game and no announcers. Just
yeah, I remember it, but I never saw
ambient sound.
With it. Yeah.
And it was really, really popular. It got really good ratings because people, I think, wanted to just hear the natural sound of football without two guys blabbing the whole way. Speaking of announcers real quick, did you see John Gruden? Deadspin got the report that John Gruden makes $6.5 million calling Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Do you realize that every time he's up for a coaching job, he turns it down? Every job.
Now we
that
see
his
why.
Name is a, and now you know why. Now you know why.
I'm not leaving that job.
Mike, I tell you what, this job's a lot easier to do, and it pays better, too. I get to talk. I don't have to watch film, not be in the place at 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't have owners on my back, fans on my back. I get rich.